Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. It's Gary Parrish. It's Friday, October 30th, 2020. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. And today, we're going to continue our series of previews focusing on the top seven conferences in college basketball. And by top seven conferences, I mean the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, SEC, Big East, and the AAC. We did the ACC on Thursday. Today, we'll turn our attention to the Big Ten, where I have Iowa winning the regular season title, while Norlander has pegged Illinois as the favorite and Wisconsin to finish second. So let's start there. Norlander,
yes.
Explain to me why you're being totally disrespectful to Fran McCaffrey, to Luca Garza, to this public research university that was founded in 1847. At CBS Sports, me, Jerry Palm, David Cobb, all have Iowa in the top two, but you and strong jaw Kyle Boone have Iowa third in the Big Ten. Explain yourself. This is Gene Wilder's alma mater we're talking about, for crying out loud.
Oh, there we go. Something tells me you've been snooping around the Iowa Wikipedia page.
That's where I get all my good ones.
1847. Trivia time that I can't answer. What's the oldest institution in the Big Ten? Let's. What do we think it is? Big Ten schools. What's the oldest one? Founded first. What's our guess?
Founded first. I'm running through them right now. I'm going to say it's Penn State.
Penn State's your guess. I'm going to go. Oh, man, this is a tough one. I'm going to say that's a good one. I'm going to say Michigan. I'm going to say Michigan's the oldest. No idea, by the way. No idea. Someone please tweet us and let us know. I don't know when the oldest. We could go and look through all the Wikipedia pages in real time here, but let's make a fun quick podcast here. You want to know why I have Iowa third? I'll let you know.
That is what I want to know.
What?
That's what I want to know.
That's what you want to know. I'll let you know that I talked with Sam Vecini yesterday. Good old Sam. Who may appear on this podcast at any moment.
You never know.
We never know. It's always out there. He actually asked me where I have Iowa in my 1-357, and I said, well, I'm going to have them in the top 10, but I'm actually going to have them behind Illinois and Wisconsin. He goes, you're absolutely right, and I don't know how many people are going to agree with you, but I'm with you 100%. And the reason why is this team has the preseason National Player of the Year in Luca Garza. It's got a great talent in Joe Wieskamp. Jordan Bohannon's terrific. Connor McCaffrey, great. But defensively, there's enough there that are not there that I'm going to just sell a bit on a 2011 team from the last season. 97th in defensive efficiency at KenPom. I like Wisconsin's overall team just a smidge better. Smidge. And I do like Illinois. I think Illinois is going to be the best team in the Big Ten. So I love that we need some more genuine disagreement on the podcast here. I've got Illinois definitely as the best team in the Big Ten. And then Wisconsin and then Iowa. But in the grand scheme of the sport, I think those are three of the 10 best teams in college basketball.
We agree on that. I have Iowa fifth in the top 25 and one, Illinois sixth and Wisconsin 10th. So, you know, we're all in the same ballpark. And I do think you can reasonably, despite my anger at the top of the podcast, I do think you can reasonably have those three teams in any order. As for Iowa, they had five players last season start at least 20 games. All five are back. Plus, they get Jordan Bohannon back. They finished 23rd at KenPom, but they were 97th in defensive efficiency. And quite clearly, like, if you're trying to look for a reason why Iowa isn't actually going to break through and make the Final Four for the first time since 1980, where you start is on the defensive side of the ball. 97th in defensive efficiency. It's hard to be great when you are that bad on the defensive end of the court, which leads me to trivia time.
Okay.
How many teams in the KenPom era that dates back to 2002 have been outside of the top 95 in defensive efficiency, but still finished in the top 10 at KenPom.
Okay, so they finished in the top 10.
Despite being outside of the top 95 in defensive efficiency.
This is some hardcore research here. I'm going to say one.
Two.
Okay, give me the years.
2012 and 2015.
Are they guessable?
No.
Okay, then go ahead. Let's just move on here.
Yeah, in 2012, Missouri finished 111.
I honestly might have gotten that. Kingham English was just brutal for that team. So yeah.
Missouri in 2012 finished 111th in defensive efficiency. Still finished 7th at KenPom. And then in 2015, you might be able to get this one. Played in an incredible Elite Eight game.
15 Elite Eight would have been Arizona, Wisconsin.
They finished 99th in defensive efficiency, but still finished 9th at KenPom.
Who'd they play in the Elite Eight game?
I better double check all this. If I'm thinking of the correct, incredible Elite Eight game, they would have played Kentucky.
Kentucky, 15 Michigan?
No.
Kentucky, Michigan. No, that wasn't it. Obviously, duh, I was there. Notre Dame.
It's Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame. They were that low though. Wow, that was another just on the on yesterday's podcast. I mentioned the Kia Clark play, being in the building for Notre Dame versus Kentucky, undefeated Kentucky. That is one of the five best games I've ever covered. That almost doesn't get enough shine as it should. 5 years later, that was an amazing game there. I didn't realize Notre Dame was that bad on D, though.
They were 99th in defensive efficiency, but still finished ninth at KenPom in that season. So, listen, every time I tweet a new link to an updated top 25 and one, and I think we're at version maybe 27.0 at this point, somebody will inevitably tweet a reply that says, I guess you're assuming Iowa's going to play defense now? I mean, you know, it's a real thing. It's not impossible to be great being average or bad on defense, but it is very, very difficult and it's very, very rare.
Yeah. I've got Illinois at the top. Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn coming back. I mean, without them, Illinois is not a top 25 team in college basketball and it's not a top 4 team in the Big Ten. But guess what? Brad Underwood gets him back. He's our preseason Big Ten Coach of the Year. And obviously, Garza's the preseason Player of the Year nationally and in the league there. But Adam Miller apparently is expected to be a real pop of a freshman. He's not the best freshman in the league, according to us. We'll reveal that in just a couple minutes here on a different team. Trent Frazier returns as well. I personally love this because Illinois should be better more often than it is. And now Illinois has a real season with national title expectations or hopes, if you want to qualify it that way.
They have a great coach and two of the best players in college basketball. That's a good place to start.
Two of the top 20 for sure. There's no doubt about it. There are only three.
Is that the best 1-2 combo in college basketball this season? It's the Illinois combo.
Maybe it's. There's only three teams that have that claim that it will have two of the top 20 players. At least in our eyes, it'll be them. It'll be Gonzaga with, if you want to qualify that, with Kispert and Drew Timmy. If you want to make Drew Timmy a top 20 player, and then Villanova with Gillespie and Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Those are the only three teams that really qualify in that regard. But yeah, I think that Dosunmu Coburn's probably the best 1-2, particularly in how they play off each other, their different roles there. I love this Illinois team. I'll spoil it right now. They're going to be in my top five when the master rankings come out next week. So just keep that in mind. I'm way, way, way in on Illinois, and I do think that they're the best team. Wisconsin, we both also have in the top 10. They've got a great front court. I talked to Greg Gard about a week ago, and Nate Roivers is, I guess, the best player on this team, and that's not just like me saying, oh, you know, maybe he's good. No, he's good, but Gard insisted that on any day, it's Roivers or Micah Potters or Demetri Trice, and then he even said, you know, there are times where Brad Davidson is by far our most important player. So, typical Wisconsin team, I guess, in that, like, they're just going to be so solid in their starting five. The defense is going to be really, really good. And Gard has now gotten, you know, for a quick minute there were Wisconsin fans that were just kind of like, all right, is this really going to be the guy that's going to be able to sustain us? You know, Bo Ryan had that whole deal with, like, you know, 17 straight years, top 4 finish in the Big Ten. Can Gard keep us at that level? not that level, but I think that he can have Wisconsin be NCAA tournament quality almost every single season. They've got a really solid roster here, and if you're a Badgers fan, yes, you should have Final Four hopes this season.
I have 7 Big Ten teams in the top 25 and one. That's more than any other conference by 2.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it was the best league in America last season, and it's going to be the best league in America again this season. There's no doubt about it. Who do you have? Run it down. Well, we mentioned the top 3, but run it down.
I have Iowa ranked 5th, number 6 Illinois, number 10 Wisconsin, number 11 Michigan State, number 17 Ohio State, number 21 Rutgers, and number 24 Indiana. As 7 Big Ten teams in the top 25 and 1, I've got 5 from the Big 12, 3 from the ACC, 3 from the Pac-12, 3 from the SEC, 2 from the Big East, 2 from the American, and 1 from the West Coast Conference. So it at least appears to be on paper the best and toughest league in the country.
I would agree with you. And even beyond that, I think it could have 8 or 9 teams in the picture for the NCAA tournament. What's interesting, you know, kind of, let's step back and take a quick big picture snippet of the league here. I do know, like, I can just tell you that the Big Ten for a while was heavily debating whether it wanted to have a 20-game schedule, a 22-game schedule, and even I think there was briefly like, do we want to be the conference that goes to a 26-game league-only schedule and not allow our teams to go to non-conference? Thankfully, they didn't do that because I think if they were the only ones, it would have just created weird incongruence. But the reason there were definitely coaches in the league, you know, 2 or 3 that are in your top 7 that were saying, we are too good to put ourselves in that position. If we're going to have a non-conference, we need to allow ourselves to be good outside the league to better the league's chances at getting 8 or 9 teams versus maybe 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 versus 6 or 7 there. So I think that's going to eventually bear out there. We agree Michigan State is number 4. Joey Hauser, Aaron Henry are 1-2 for best players on that roster. They're definitely top 60 play. If Aaron Henry can finally break through, like he is going to be a top 5 player in the league, top 10 for sure, top 60, top 70 player in college basketball, he's got to break through. Rocket Watts is another player. Like the pieces are there. They lose Tillman's, Cassius Winston. It's a big deal, but I still think that that's a quality team. And then Ohio State, I think Ohio State just lacks depth. I do like their starting 5. I don't know if they're going to... I keep moving them around in my rankings, Parrish, because I just don't know. Like, Dwayne Washington, C.J. Walker, great starting 2. E.J. Liddell, I think, is going to be a really good glue type of guy. Kyle Young, just big and tough. I don't know how much they have coming off of the bench there. Top 25 quality, yes. But where do you have them? Where do you have Ohio State in your rankings?
I have Ohio State number 17.
I think I'm going to go lower than that because also they have Seth Towns on the roster, but he's not expected to be ready until like January. So, and how good is he going to be then? You know, I don't know. So I do like him, but I thought I'd have him top 20, and I think I'm talking myself out of that. And then Rutgers. Hello, like top 25 level kind of team here. That's awesome. I just love those.
I have Rutgers 21st. They return like most of the good pieces from a team that was good.
6th best defensive team in the nation last year, GP, and they bring back Geo Baker. Like Geo Baker might Geo Baker is a top 50, 60 player in America, and the most relevant, important player at Rutgers. Quincy Doobie? I mean, I'm going to say it right now. Like, it's the Quincy Doobie era, and now we got the Geo Baker era. So I'm way big on what Steve Peichel's doing there. I think it's awesome. I really don't want, like, I really hope Rutgers doesn't go Rutgers. Like, don't fall on your face. Be awesome. Be top 25 level. Be a surefire NCAA tournament team because you didn't get that opportunity last season. You've got so much returning. There's no excuse not to be, you know, top 25 quality.
You know, what's going to be interesting with Rutgers, and this is obviously going to play a role everywhere, but I think it could be a big factor for Rutgers and in a negative way. What made Rutgers a projected NCAA tournament team last season?
What do you like? Well, how good they were in the league.
Yeah. More specifically, they beat everybody at home.
Oh, yeah, that was the big deal with them. You're right. Good point.
They had an incredible home court advantage that's not going to exist.
That's a good Quincy Dubé Pavilion, and it's well, the magic is still there. I will maintain that, but you're right about that. That's an interesting factor that I had not considered. They play in Jersey. I promise you, that state is not going to allow them to have any fans.
No, like I remember talking to Chris Collins about this maybe last year, whenever it was. You know, Northwestern goes to the NCAA tournament, first time in school history, and then they were redoing their arena, and the next season. I think it was the next season, they couldn't have home games.
Yeah.
And Chris was like, that matters. You know, like it's just a different, like we had an incredible home court advantage that helped propel us to the NCAA tournament. And then the next season, it's just not there. And listen, Kentucky takes advantage of its home court. Kansas takes advantage of its home court. Lots of schools do. But last season, Rutgers took advantage of its home court as well as anybody. And now that same type of environment just isn't going to exist. And you wonder if it could really be a thing that makes them not live up to expectations. I hope not, but I'm not ruling it out.
The one thing that might offset it is Rutgers brings back more of its roster than any other team in the Big Ten. So maybe you get a little of offsetting there. I will say this. You and I are in lockstep. I'm looking at it right now. 4-9, Michigan State at 4, Ohio State at 5, Rutgers at 6, and then Indiana at 7. Indiana's got Christian Lander. Shouts, of course, I'm going to dominate the Lander beat on this. He's our freshman of the year in the league. Indiana finds itself in a weird spot, Parrish. Like, the fans are starting to get really itchy with Archie, okay? I didn't plan on saying that. It came out of my mouth weirder than I thought it would.
Itchy with Archie.
So, they are top 25 level, ideally. They have the best freshman in the league, but they're not a top five team in the Big Ten, maybe not. It's just they land in an interesting spot with all that, and because of how the season's going to be, like, they could be an easy into the NCAA tournament, but maybe because of how tough the Big Ten might be, we look up and see Indiana, like, it's a good team, but it's just an 8 seed. Like, I don't know. It'll be weird to see how they shake out and how Indiana fans just react to this season with Archie Miller, because it has to be this year. They want a huge year. Trace Jackson Davis, to me, is the dark horse to win to win Big Ten Player of the Year in that league. I think he is the best returning sophomore big in college basketball. I like him even more than Kofi Coburn, and his inclusion means a ton to the Hoosiers.
On Big Ten Player of the Year, would you take Luka or the field?
I'd take the field. Too many good players, I think. I think I have to take the field there. Think about how many other, like, there's just too much. Either the Illinois guys. Wisconsin wins the league and maybe Potter or Roivers goes off. Jackson Davis. I can't see any of the Michigan State guys being Big Ten Player of the Year. But would you take Luka?
I think I would, just because it's hard to imagine him going backwards statistically.
You're
like,
right.
For him, it's going to come down to, you know, does his team live up to expectations? And if it does, I think he'll have the numbers to make it pretty obvious.
It's 50-50. I mean, you could easily have DeSumo and Coburn kind of cancel each other out as well, which is a major factor. So,
back to Indiana real quick. I do think it's a massive season for Archie, and not in the sense that if it doesn't go well, they'll make a coaching change. And I don't think that.
No way.
But he has finished 6th, 9th, and 10th in the Big Ten in 3 seasons at Indiana. He's 26-32, 26-32 in the Big Ten. Yeah. And 0 NCAA tournament appearances. Now, was projected on the day that the season was canceled to make the tournament as like a 10 seed. So even if they were to get in, they were, you know, expected to play one game and then be done. But like, he went to the Elite Eight in year 3 at Dayton, and in year 3 at Indiana, he finished 10th in the Big Ten. And so, you know, this is Indiana we're talking about. It's not the most patient fan base in America. And you know, I don't think his job's in jeopardy, and nor, let me be clear, nor do I think it should be. I still think Archie is very, very, very good. And I do believe that he'll get this thing headed the right direction. But if I'm being honest, it's taken longer than I thought it would take.
I think I agree with you on that. And you just mentioned where they finish, and we've got them 7, and like they're a good team. So again, not a top 5 finish. They're projected. We'll see how it shakes out. Purdue, we both got them 8. I wondered that if I might be higher on Purdue than everyone else, but no. Matt Painter just seems to figure it. He's regarded as a top 4 coach in that league. So give him the benefit of the doubt there. I did want to touch real quick on Michigan and Maryland. We both got Michigan at 9. I've got Maryland 10. You've got them 11. Granted, your ranking came out before they got what's his name eligible. Jarris Hamilton got eligible with Maryland. Aaron Wiggins, Eric Ayala, Daryl Morsell, Jarris Hamilton. Like, I'm gonna have Maryland in my top 40 at this point. I don't think they're going to just plummet. The projection I have versus where they finished, it is a plummeting in the standings. But in the overall, like, I think that Maryland is going to be maybe just sneaking into the NCAA tournament or just missing it. That's where I would put them, and I would have Michigan just a little bit higher. Paris, the talent in this league is stupid. Like, Hunter Dickinson, you were with me. We saw him play in Peach Jam. He has got a super high ceiling. I expect him to be on the Frosh Watch, top 10 freshman in America at points this season. I don't know if he'll land there, but they've got Isaiah Livers, who we haven't even gotten to on our email chain for top 100 players, but to me, like, he needs to start coming up pretty soon here. Franz Wagner, like, he's also really, really good. Shondi Brown out of Wake Forest. I don't want to keep banging on the same drum, but I look up and down the league, and I'm like, this is the most talented league in America. And when I remember us talking on this podcast four or five years ago, we did not talk about the Big Ten in these terms. I specifically remember us dedicating long segments, if not episodes, to what the Big Ten's issue was when it came to where it landed in KenPom, where it landed in the top 25, where it landed in the recruiting rankings, the players that it wasn't getting. That is straight up not happening anymore. You've got teams we project to be 9th and 10th in this league, and they've got straight up studs. We haven't even gotten to Marcus Carr at Minnesota. Like, they have so many good players that it is going to be a beast, and we are going to inevitably see the 9th place team, the 10th place team, or the 11th place team in the Big Ten not make the tournament this season. And it's going to be a hard pill to swallow because they know how good they're going to be. But eventually, you're going to take on too many losses that you can't avoid it.
A good team with a good coach and good players is going to finish in the bottom half of the league.
Yes. It is a lock. I mean, they're not going to be. We talked about the ACC on the previous one. The ACC will be a good league. It's just not nearly as good as the Big Ten. Doesn't have as much talent. That was unthinkable a decade ago. But that's the reality of where we are right now. The only two bad teams are Nebraska and Northwestern, and everyone acknowledges that. Northwestern is actually supposed to be better than it was last year, but it's still not good. And Nebraska just, it's just a complete, like, Hoiberg is just taking a wrecking ball to it and completely rebuilding it. So they're just not supposed to be any good, but everyone else, I mean, Penn State's a moving target. Like, I know you did the podcast with Boone, they replaced Pat Chambers. So maybe they just fall apart. I don't know. But everyone else, yeah, really, really, really good. Tournament, NCAA or NIT tournament level.
All right, Norlander, I've done the research. What was your answer to what is the oldest institution in the Big Ten?
Well, you at the top of the podcast, you had Penn State. I had Michigan. You have the answer. Can we get a little bit of a drum roll?
I don't personally own drums.
I'm gonna put it in post, so okay. it's gonna have played there. But yeah, let's get a little bit of a drum roll. And the answer is
the University of Michigan, founded in 1817.
Boom, boom.
Penn State was founded in 1855. Extra trivia time.
Newest.
What's the youngest Big Ten university?
Just same wavelength, man. Tractor beam. Pull me right in. The youngest, I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to say Minnesota. It's just so cold up there.
Minnesota was founded in 1851. The youngest Big Ten institution is Ohio State University, founded in 1870.
How about
it's just that? A kid. It's just a kid. It's just a baby. It's just a baby, Ohio State. The Big Ten is also the oldest collegiate athletic conference in Division I of the NCAA. How about this? I'm basically a Big Ten historian now. The University of Michigan. So the Big Ten Conference was founded in 1896. Michigan was like, we're in. So they're a founding member. Mm-hmm. And then they left in 1907. And then they came back in 1917.
I think Tony Hinkle had something to do with that.
Baby Tony Hinkle. 2-year-old baby Tony Hinkle.
Yeah, I think he might have had a factor in that. I don't know. I don't know if a book's been written about it or anything like that. It might have been a scandal, but just keep that in mind. Yeah.
Michigan, here's what I think happened. Michigan got married too young to the Big Ten, thought that it could find happiness somewhere else, and then decided to, and left, and then 10 years later decided to circle back to its first love, the Big Ten.
And they let it happen, and it changed the course of Michigan forever. There we go.
The University of Chicago was a member from 1896 to 1946.
Who doesn't know that, Parrish? Come on. Can you give the people something they aren't aware of? Everyone knows about the University of Chicago.
I'm running out of notes. This is basically all I've got. Okay. What has the highest enrollment of any Big Ten school?
I think it's Wisconsin.
I think you don't know what you're talking about.
It's not Wisconsin. Then it's Ohio State.
50,000 Ohio State.
Yeah. Wisconsin, I think, is 2. They're all like 40,000 plus, though. These are massive universities.
Okay. What's the smallest enrollment?
Northwestern, got to be, easily.
No, it's Gene Wilder's alma mater.
Really?
Yeah, Gene Wilder's alma mater, Iowa, 28,000. It is Northwestern, 16,000.
Boom, come on now.
You lose! Good day, sir!
I'm sorry, I apologize.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal.
I apologize. Shouts! Devin Downey, shouts to Chester, South Carolina, shouts to Terry, MF and Teagle legend. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Eye on College Basketball podcast in the middle of the dumbest pandemic I've ever lived in my entire life. If you're not subscribed already, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. I'd appreciate it. Norlander would too. So go do that if you haven't done it already. And we will talk to you again really soon. And by really soon, I mean Saturday. Till then, take care. Shouts.
You stole fizzy lifting drinks.